One question that is impossible to avoid as we study and teach the Bible today is the question about baptism. How important is baptism? And the study of baptism, how important is it to know what God says about baptism? As I read the Bible, I believe baptism is a topic that everyone should study. So we would like to spend some time this morning just talking about that, the importance of baptism. But as we are here this morning, we're happy that everyone has come. And if you came in down below the stairs downstairs, you would find that maybe notice some of the posters there. And it's showing a lot of the good work that's being done with our children's Bible classes. And the children that are in the classes and the smiling faces. And we look there and we see Aria and Ezra and Gracie and Addison. And we see Joseph and we see Carter and we see Coulter and Rusty and Coraline and Wallace. And we just love our children and we really appreciate the efforts of our teachers and the hard work that goes into our Bible classes. So I'd encourage you to take some time to look at those. Some of those posters that are downstairs, and they speak about some very uplifting things. The path to Jesus is sweet. We'd like to remind everyone about the singing next Sunday night that was announced, that Chuck and Patsy are getting ready to move soon, and John and Claudia, and we just want to pray for them. Let them know how much we love them and dedicate that service to worshiping and praising God and seeking His blessings in their move that's coming up. So how important is baptism in our world today, in our lives? Is baptism important or not? Why do some groups baptize and some don't baptize? From conversations that we have with family and friends around the religious world, it's obvious that people have often disagreed about baptism. And it's sad to know that there are sincere individuals who are searching for the truth that we can't just let the Bible speak. You know, I was blessed to be raised in a family that emphasized that the Bible is our only standard when it comes to our faith in our lives today. And in Ephesians 4 here that we read earlier this morning, and Gary did such a fine job reading, speaks about the fact that there is one baptism, and this alongside of other components there of the foundation of unity of Christianity. There's one body, there's one spirit, there is one Lord, there is one God and Father. There's seven of those things, and there's one baptism. He says that we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is something then that I believe that God intends to be something that we talk about, that we study, that we understand as a basic foundational point of what it means to be a Christian and part of the faith of Christ. And so, as I have grown and as I was raised under to hear many sermons about baptism as I was growing up, and it caused me to give much thought to my own need to be baptized as a young person. And the day that I was baptized, I still believe was one of the most important days of my life. And I've read several books about baptism and tried to learn as much as I can about different views and the reasons that there are different views concerning baptism. And I don't claim to have all the answers for sure, but it has become clear to me as I have studied God's Word that God has given an important place to baptism in His plan. And I also have tried to listen to what others believe and respect their convictions about it. Have you ever been in a situation, any of you, where you were asked what you believe about baptism and salvation? Sooner or later, I'm sure that we will all be asked this in one way or another. It probably will be in a friendly conversation that someone that's close to you may ask that question, and we will be caught off guard, may not be prepared to answer, may not know how to answer best that question. So to make the most of the opportunity, we need to know what the Bible says beforehand and know it well enough to explain it, to be able to give an accurate view of what does the Bible say about baptism? What does Jesus say about this topic? Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says that we need to be sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So it's important to each one of us undertake as an individual personal study and quest to find the truth about baptism for ourselves, both for ourselves and for the influence we will probably have upon other people. So there's many reasons that I believe it is important for us to do this, to spend time studying. But before we get into that further this morning, I also want to point out a valuable phrase that the Apostle Paul brings up in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. And to me, that's such an important idea, because we first need to know the truth in order to speak it. And realizing the importance of it, but also the sensitivity of this topic, we also need to speak it in love, because it's both a very important subject, but it's also a very sensitive topic in the world today, and it's so important that we speak the truth in love. So I'd like for us to consider those two basic principles and how important they are. First of all, let's think about the importance of truth whenever we are discussing baptism. And as I say, in order to be able to speak the truth, we first need to know what the truth is. We need to spend time studying from the Bible to come to our own understanding, to come to our own conviction as to what the Bible teaches, what God says about baptism. I would hope that that is true for all of us here today, this morning, for any topic, that we would always have that desire as a Christian, as an earnest believer of Christ, to want to know what the Bible says. And for that to be our faith. And that is the truth of God's Word. The Bible is the only reliable source, absolutely reliable source that we can go to find the answer to that question. So I would suggest that finding the truth about baptism is one of the more important studies that we can undertake. It's important not only because we each must ultimately decide what to do about baptism in our own lives, but also because what we believe about baptism is probably going to influence others around us. Think about what you would say. What you would say if a sincere friend, honestly seeking the truth, comes to you to talk about his life and confides in you and says that he is wanting to get his life right with God. And he's asking you, what does he need to do in order to be saved? What are you going to tell him? Should baptism be part of your response or not? And how do we know? Even if I fully believe that what I am saying is true, if my answer is not God's answer, then what kind of an effect would I be having on this person's spiritual life? Maybe even their eternal destiny could be influenced by the answer that the way that I respond to that question. I might be hindering him from obeying God and receiving salvation, and that is a sad thought. That is a sobering thought. It's not a situation I want to find myself in. I don't think any of us do. That a friend comes to you and honestly searching for the truth. What do I need to do? You're a Christian. I have confidence in you. What do you believe I should do in order to be saved? You see, we need to know the answer. We need to know the truth and be confident that my answer is God's answer about that. Because what I say is going to have an influence on this person's life. Or what about if a friend comes to you from within the church here and they have a question about their baptism? They say that they were baptized when they were a baby. And, of course, that would mean that they had no say in their baptism. They had no way to know why they were being baptized. So they did it without any understanding of faith at the time. And they're wondering whether their baptism was acceptable to God. So do I encourage him to be baptized with the understanding he now has that Jesus died for his sins? Or do I tell him that as long as he was placed in the water and the right words were spoken over him, he was fine? What would I base my answer upon in a conversation like that? Well, obviously, none of us, we're not always going to know the right thing to say. None of us have all the answers. None of us know the truth completely. But surely I believe that we would agree that we would want to do the best job that we can with this situation. That we want to help this person find the truth. And that's why we need to go to the Bible to find out what does Scripture say about this question. And be confident that we can find the answer there. That God has spoken these things. He has revealed to us what we need to know about salvation. And he's spoken a lot about baptism. We don't want to go into that and be unprepared. Well, another reason that that is true, of course, is because Jesus encourages us that if we abide in His Word, we can know the truth. He said, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Of course, He later said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But then, as He was praying in John 17, He said, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." So I believe that if we will go to the Scripture and make an earnest study, that we can find what God says. But another reason that it is important for us to know the truth is because there are so many answers today that are being put forth out in the religious world around us. So who are we going to listen to? Are we just going to take someone else's word for it? I mean, you may be the smartest, nicest person in the world, but I'm not going to just accept what you say when it's going to affect my eternal destiny. I want to find out, what does God say? What does the Bible say? Even the smartest person among us, we know, can sometimes be wrong. Can sometimes be mistaken. So as we search the truth, we have to consider and sort through some of the different answers that are given. But we need to go to the Bible and ultimately find, what does God say? What does the Bible teach about this? You know, many people today believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, but many others say, no, it's a symbol of salvation that the person has already received. Baptism is for those after they have been saved, and it's symbolic of the salvation that they have received through Christ. Others, some believe that baptism is a complete immersion in water. And others believe, though, that it is sprinkling or pouring is acceptable, as much as immersion would be. In fact, they prefer that. Some believe that baptism has to be done with the right purpose. But others believe that as long as a person undergoes a religious act that involves water in some form and considers it baptism, then it doesn't matter whether the person understands the purpose of what they are doing or not. Well, obviously, all of these answers can't all be right. What is the truth when it comes to these things? The very fact that so many different answers are out there, and there's so many competing voices, how can we possibly know the truth? Well, we have to remember that the only true standard is the Bible. As Jesus is saying there, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And we open God's word, we read it, we study it, we patiently go through and make notes and compare verses. And we finally have to make up our mind to just listen to what the Bible says. And forget about these different voices that are out here, all these different ideas that people are saying, because the only place we're going to find the answer is to the Bible itself. And so as we consider all these different viewpoints, we have to take them and compare them into Scripture and use the Bible as the standard. So when we read the book of Acts, we find about the Bereans. The Bereans says that they were more open-minded than some of the other Jews. Paul, the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were going through these areas, preaching Christ. And it said the Bereans were more open-minded. They were willing to listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. But it says they wouldn't accept unless it was confirmed by Scripture. And that's the right attitude. It said they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. So they heard what Paul was speaking. They listened earnestly, but then they went and studied the Scriptures. And that's the proper attitude. They're commended for that. We need to follow that example, each one of us. We have a tendency to hear something someone says, and if they sound knowledgeable, we'll go with that. Someone else comes along, they say something different. Oh, I hadn't heard that before. And we're tossed to and fro. Instead of that, we need to get our feet solid ground on Scripture. And take some time, invest some time, and get to the point where we are confident. Here's what the Bible says. I believe that. That's what I'm going to say. If people come to me, and that's what I'm going to base my life upon, and my decision about my own baptism. It's going to affect our own future. It's going to affect the future of others around us. But I want us to think about the importance of love at the same time. Remember, Paul, he says, speaking the truth in love. So why is that so important? Again, it's because so many different ideas about baptism. It's very controversial. It's a very sensitive subject that we are dealing with when we discuss baptism. We understand that what usually happens when people begin discussing things they disagree about? Well, we all know. They get into arguments. Things become tense. It ends up with hurt feelings. And that's true with any controversial topic. Religion is no different, especially talking about when it comes to matters of salvation. Matters of eternal salvation. It's a very important subject, but it's extremely sensitive. And it's sad that many, many harsh words have been exchanged throughout the years during discussion about baptism. No doubt many friendships have been broken. Churches have split. Enemies have been made. What can we do to avoid such outcomes as that? Well, we have to show an attitude of not being argumentative, not being self-righteous, not being self-superior. Well, aren't we supposed to speak boldly? Yes, we're supposed to speak boldly when it comes to the truth, but we're also to speak in love, as Paul tells us. Because no matter how true something is, if it's presented in a rude, arrogant way, people aren't going to listen. What if someone comes up to you and gets in your face and starts telling you you're totally wrong? What you believe. And if you don't accept what I say, then you're probably going to find yourself in hell for eternity, and you'll deserve every minute of it. You think they're going to listen to you? I don't think any of us would stand for that. I wouldn't care if what you had to say, even if you were right, because you've injured my pride. My ears are shut at that point. You've backed me into a corner. And I'm probably going to lose my cool. I'm probably going to get upset. I'm probably going to say a few choice words of my own. And nothing is really good going to come out of it from that point. So it's not enough to know the truth about baptism and then go out and start telling everyone. We have to have a spirit of love. We have to have an attitude of humility and respect, along with the confidence we have in the truth. Sure, we want to know the truth. Sure, we want to share the truth. We want others to know what the Bible teaches about baptism and about other important things. But ultimately, we want them to be saved. We don't just want to study baptism or any other topic just to win an argument or to sound smarter or more righteous than someone else. Not about who is wrong or who is right. It's about what is right. We need to be aware that honest people, there are many viewpoints, and we need to respect everyone's view, everyone's belief. But we need to compare them with Scripture, and we need to go to God's Word. Not so we can start pointing fingers at other people. Our goal is to find the truth so we can prepare ourselves to get to heaven and be able to help others do the same. Not to insult anyone. Not to pick on anyone else who may not have been taught, who may not have heard, who may not have come to the same understanding. So when it comes to the subject of baptism, as much as maybe any other thing in the world today, we need to have a spirit of love, patience, long-suffering, kindness in how we discuss that subject with others, what we have learned from our study. Sometimes the more we study, the more we have a tendency to put forth an air of superior knowledge, and that's the wrong step for us to have. We need to have a very humble mind when it comes to that type of such an important topic. We have no right to be demeaning or arrogant. We have no liberty to laugh at the beliefs of others or look down upon them who may not have been taught the truth of what the Bible says. So we have just as great an obligation to be respectful, to be fair with others' views, as we try to fulfill our God-given responsibility to know the truth and stand for the truth. All of that is important. The world has many sincere people today who need to hear what the Bible says. So the last thing we want to do is turn them off with poor attitudes on our part. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, he said, "The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." We need to make it our goal, I believe, first to study God's Word. Find out what the Bible says. Let the Bible be our guide and standard. And that may take some time. That may take a lot of time to do the study correctly and thoroughly. And once we are confident that we understand the truth in regards to baptism, we need to present the truth when we have the opportunity with confidence, but with a spirit of love at the same time. There's no question it is a study of great importance, controversial. There are many difficult questions that have to be addressed, that have to be considered. But the truth about baptism is a message that we need to know and the world needs to hear. We each need to approach it with eagerness, with sincerity, with determination. Because at some point in our lives, we must each make a decision about our baptism. And the choice that we make will play an important role in the spiritual direction of our lives. So will we have the knowledge? Do we have the knowledge to make the right decision? But there's going to be other times in our lives when we're going to be asked about baptism. And when those times come, are we going to have the knowledge? Are we going to be prepared? An opportunity will come for you to be able to show another person God's will for their life. Are we going to be ready? I pray that God will help each of us as we make that decision. First about our own baptism. But also help us to be ready when that other opportunity comes our way. That God brings a person into your life searching for the truth. I pray that we'll be ready to help them find the truth. Well, thank you today for your kind attention as we think about that subject. And we'll do some more lessons about it as time goes on. But I think that is foundational. That is foundational for us to approach that with a proper attitude and a proper desire and understanding of what our responsibility is, why it is important to come to that understanding. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning as He's inviting each of us to come to Him and to repent of our sins, to confess His name. He does call for us, command us to be baptized. And it's an important thing for us to consider. So if you're here today and subject to His invitation in any way that we can assist you this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.